need to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho, O, H to the O V. I used to move snowflakes by the OZ. I guess even back then you can call me CEO of the ROC. Ho.
Yeah, I'm making sure that is fine. Don't worry. Okay.
Far off from the
okay. Really like that. Okay, that's better. Okay. Sorry. Got it. Yeah, okay, okay.
You still blocking it.
Wait, I'm not. Wait, shot, right? Do I need to move it down here?
No,
or like,
be, no, no, no. So, like, say, like, you could be here.
Yes.
But still make yourself present. You know what I'm saying? Like, that. Okay. You see how mine, like, it's in front of me, but I'm still, like, you could still see me. Like, true. When you were doing it, it was like that. Like, covering your whole, you would, like, cover your whole head.
Okay,
guys. Like, now you're valid. Now you're valid. Now you're valid.
Okay, okay. We're good. Okay, welcome back to GG Sports. I'm here with my special guest, my Uncle Drew. My Uncle Drew, Andrew, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Yes,
happy to be here.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Okay, so on this podcast, you've heard from a lot of different people that, you know, I've been on this podcast as of recently. Mm-hmm. Lou, you know, Shane, all those guys, and we all play basketball together. You have big ball knowledge, right?
Decent amount. I won't decent say amount. I'm a savant, but I know a little bit.
Like, you know about the good times as well.
Yeah,
you
know I know about when basketball was still, you know, high-quality entertainment, for sure.
Is it not still?
Debatable. To some people. You know, don't get me wrong, this year has been starting off on a mm-hmm. good track, but as you can see, you know, viewership has definitely declined, so...
It has.
It's not giving what it used to, you know, for the most part. Which is surprising, like, especially with the amount of talent that's coming in.
Well, true. But I'm just saying there's a lot of good, you know, stars in the league still. Like, Victor Wembanyama, he's going crazy. He's scoring 40. Like, it's dangerous.
Yeah, but...
He could win MVP.
But you got to look at who he played.
The Nets.
The Raptors. Right. I forgot the other three, but I think the... Was it the Pistons? Basically, all bottom tier teams. So,
I mean, yeah, but that doesn't mean he's not going to still.
Yeah,
do
I'm not doubting his performance, but I'm saying in terms of level of competition, like they're all still NBA players for sure.
True.
But I'm saying in terms of that star potential and that, you know, mm-hmm. every time you know when you're facing that opponent, they could give you 30. So far, the teams that he has played are either they don't have that manpower or it's a one man show, and that one man show isn't enough when you got. A young core like the Spurs do.
I mean, yeah, that's very true, but they have a lot of good pieces around him in order for him to, you know, be successful. I mean, you got Stephon Castle, one rookie of the year last year. Mm-hmm. They traded for De'Aaron Fox, who has been solid in contribution. I do think he could do a little bit better.
He's out right now.
Yeah, but at the same time, last season I still wasn't mm-hmm. thinking he was doing a lot, but... I'm just saying he himself is the team, but he has a lot of people around him that are helping him be that type of player. Because the things that he's doing, man, if he mm-hmm. can just do that and not get injured mm-hmm. or stay healthy.
I think we also got to look at the adjustment period, you know, because think about it. Halfway through that season last year, you know, Pop was dealing with what he was dealing with,
mm-hmm.
With his heart and the stroke and everything. So, I mean, we got to take that into consideration of how that could affect the team and how it affects rotations and how you go into it, joining a team, listening to that dynamic, and then you go in and the person who's leading your team goes down.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to go and try to figure out how you're going to move and improve and operate afterwards. And then also he did get hurt at the same time because he was recognized as Clutch Player of the Year, so he's not a bad player.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's also a matter of trying to get a star like Wemby involved. And, you know... Even because I was just watching Gilbert Arenas' podcast, and he talked about it too. Like the last 2 years of Wemby's career, he was mainly shooting threes. So even the team rotation wasn't utilizing him well. So now it's just an adjustment of we have a 7'5" player on our roster. Why we have him chilling at the 3-point line?
He should be,
you know, like
the basket.
Which is what he's doing now. You know, so it's just that growing period and also the adjustment of a team. And now they're technically under a new helm with a new coach. Even though he was the assistant last year and picked up toward the later end of the season. But now it's going to be a full court season with that guy being their head coach. And, you know, maybe that's a different coaching dynamic than what it was with Pop. Like, yeah, he was under Popovich, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean he is Popovich. Yeah. You know, so that could all be a factor.
Very, very true. I'm just saying, to a degree, if he keeps up to he's doing right now, he's in the conversation for not just that, but MVP.
Oh yeah,
which is my hot take. I think he's going to win MVP.
I think he can as well as Depoy for sure.
Like, it depends on the record.
I think it will fall down to their overall performance. And right now, I think they have a game tonight, or maybe I think Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But if he wins again, first of all, that would be the first time, I think, in the past decade that Spurs have been on a 5-game winning streak to start out the season. And I think he's at a good point, and everybody knows their role. Everybody's doing what they need to do. Like, you know, it's surprising when Dylan Harper's coming in, he's already averaging 15 per game off the bench.
Yeah.
So,
which is crazy.
I mean,
it's coming off the
bench.
We just got
to see what they look like with... Because that's, I think, going to be the big adjustment for them, is figuring out how their rotation is going to look if Fox comes back. Like, who's going to the bench? Is it going to be Devin Vassell, or is it going to be Kasu, or how's the rotation going to work within that? Because now they have a lot of pieces, but it's a matter of how they all going to mesh when everyone's healthy.
Yeah, it's like one player could be better than another, which I see with De'Aaron Fox, but at the same time, I don't know how that's going to mesh with Stephon Castle and then Victor Wembanyama in the paint. So it's debatable on what's gonna happen with that. But another thing that I've been seeing is that players have been scoring like crazy this year. I don't know what it is, this is the first time in the while where I've seen a season where this is gonna be.
Yeah, they've been messing up my parlays for sure.
parlays?
Every game I've been doing a parlay, but some of them haven't been, like, you know. Mm-hmm. Granted, the league's in a weird time right now. Like, a lot of stars are hurt, or you know. Like, especially in the East, is open season right now. You know, everybody has an opportunity to show out. And I think there's been a lot of improvement or development for a lot of players this season. Like, think about it. We had Austin Reaves basically drop 50 in one game. We have Wemby dropping 40. Like, there's been games where multiple people have had 40-plus. VJ Edgecombe came in and, like, his debut and dropped 30. So it's like, you know, the talent and the competitiveness is there. I just think it's more of the development of those players has been a huge change, especially with a lot of stars either digressing or hurt for the most part. Because all the people we looked up to, like KD, Steph, all of them, they're kind of on the latter end. Not trying to say they've done less, but you know, they're at that place where it's like, okay, I'm not gonna be and do everything anymore. So now it's the time for everybody to step up, and I feel like most of those teams have had players who's like, I'm gonna take advantage. If I'm gonna get the ball 30, 40 times a night, I'm gonna make sure I get my buckets. And like, you know, players like Austin Reaves has taken advantage. Tyrese Maxey has definitely taken advantage.
Lauri Markkanen
is taking advantage, especially because now he's like their main option for
the
most
part.
Guy. Yeah, like he's the guy. Same for Maxey. Like Maxey's now like their guy. Austin Reaves, while Luka and Braun is out, that's their guy. You know, everybody's, I think, for the most part, is taking advantage of the opportunities that are being given to them.
That's true. Do you have any, like, certain hot takes or evaluations that you've had of the season so far? I mean, I know it's only been a week, but, you know, it's been a very hectic week.
You said any odd takes? I would say, for one thing, because I've seen a lot where they was talking about, oh, the Pistons can make a... The Pistons has been the one that's been getting me mad, because...
Like, they're saying that they're going to make a big run.
They thought they were going to make a big run, especially because of the way the East is standing and with what they had, because they are such a defensive-heavy team and, you know, had that young potential. And they're, like, 1-5 right now. Or, like, 0-5, I think. I don't think they've won a game yet.
They haven't.
But either they've won one or have not won any. Either or. But still, it's like, you know, this was, I think, a year that they were definitely going to highlight Cade. And every time I bet on him so far, he can't give me 15.
You can't even get 15?
Can't give me 15.
Wow.
So it's like those players who's like, those opportunities are being presented, or those years where we're expecting a big gap in their improvement. I, like, most of them, I haven't seen it. Or I think I've seen a lot of, like, uncertainty. Like, we're looking around like, okay, who's going to be the one to put on tonight? And we usually fall on those stars that we've known growing up the whole time, and most of them are out, or most of them are old. Like, you know, taking a break. Like, LeBron, his freaking sciatica, or like there's all these people who, like, everybody, we're like, okay, we know this guy's gonna give us 20 and 15 or 20 and 10, but now they're not there. So then you're looking and it's like, okay, so who's gonna be the next man up? Who's gonna be the next one to put the ball in the basket? And the ones lately that I've been expecting haven't. they've been killing my parlays. My parlays have been down.
It's bad. Either they're killing it or they're not.
The one game I don't bet on them, they go all out. But then the games I bet, and it's like, oh, I think they should, like, there should be no reason why a certain team is playing the Nets, right? Uh-huh. And I bet, oh, you should have a breakout game. You give me 5 points. I'm looking at my parlay yesterday. I'm like, oh, the Hawks should win. They're playing somebody who's not all that, blah, blah, blah. They don't have their star. Mm. I put Trae Young for PRA. He gave me, like, 12.
That's just tough.
Yeah, so it's stuff like God. That. Like, people who we thought, you know, were going to be the, not necessarily the faces, but the main advertisement for the league. And then you coming out giving me bench player numbers as a star player. Like, especially when you're getting star player money.
That's true.
Like, you're getting paid life-changing money because you've shown your potential, and then now
you're not showing
the main it. Time when the league's like easiest,
not, yes,
you want to give me nothing.
it's so easy to score. What are we doing? Like we've seen it,
especially
bro.
if you look at it from, like, when you really do the math, like, even if you do 2 layups a quarter, like, you already get a decent number. You're
projected like 16
points. You're projected like 16 points, and that's just if you get like 2 layups a quarter. Like, and then that's, depending on how many minutes you get, you could do even more. Like, it's just a matter of utilizing the opportunity or using the times that you actually are getting your touches to really do something with it.
Like, I'm just thinking of the facet of, like, if you're even a free and D player, think of, like, 2 free-pointers a quarter you make, right?
Yes.
And then that equals to, like, what, like, 24 points?
If you make, yeah. Like, for sure. Like, even just if you make 1 a quarter, you're giving me 15, like, you're giving me 12 to 15 if you get like 1 good quarter where you make more than one. But even if you make 1 3 a quarter, you're giving me at least 12 points. And then that's not even considering what you're doing on a defensive end.
That's
so true. It's like, it's just a matter of like using the time better. Like, there's a lot of times where people get touches and like, there should be no reason you're playing 30 minutes a game and I see you with 2 points.
That's true.
Like, so what are you doing out there? You doing Tony Snell stats? Just running down the court? Like, that's pointless.
That reminds me of Paul George, like, man, last season.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. There's so many players out there who literally just go up and down the court or, like,
just do jogging.
Like, Paolo, too. I'm like, yo, granted, I know he got, like, his medical stuff that he be dealing with. But, like, you're another player where it's, like, you and Franz are the number 1 and 2. You're Batman and Robin or whatever, however y'all want to make it.
Yeah.
There should, like... There's games where you're not giving me even 10.
It's that bad.
Yeah, bro. Oh, like, you're 6'8 playing like 28 minutes, however tall you are, and you're giving me 10 points. Like, it's stuff like that. Like, I can't get it, but at the same time, I'm not in their shoes. I'm not performing at their level. I don't got a recognized defender in front of me. I don't got, like, Drew Holiday, potential Alex Caruso, Derek White, like, those type of high-quality defenders. I don't have them in front of me. So I don't know what it's like to deal with that pressure as well as trying to get your team involved in playing those long minutes with the light on you. So, you know, it's just a fan's perspective at the end of the day.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I also look over to the rookies, who, by the way, are killing it right now.
For sure.
Obviously, can't pronounce his name. BJ Edgecombe. It's a very difficult name to pronounce. But there's also the Lakers rookie, number 12. I think it's Jared... it's not going to be McLean, definitely not. But Jared something, bro. That's the Philadelphia guy. But I look at them, Cooper Flagg, kind of a slow start, but you see their star power with him too.
I think with him, he's a rare topic because I think what they're trying to do, it's a lot of experimentation. Because think about it, their main point guard's out, Kyrie's out. I mean, yeah, bro, D'Lo, but D'Lo is not...
gonna be a high quality replacement.
He's not a high quality replacement. You know, like, he's still an NBA. You know, give him his flowers, but he doesn't give what Kyrie was performing as on the court. So I think, and then in Jason Kidd's perspective, like, okay, maybe I want to put him at the point guard because not only is he tall enough and has that basketball knowledge, there's not many people at that position that's going to be able to stay with him. Now the problem is he doesn't have the mind of a point guard. But it does help at the same time for him because he gets all his touches. He gets to feel the rhythm of the game compared to where all these other players, besides I think players like VJ and maybe Kyshawn George and Washington and all those other players, they all come off the bench or, you know, most of the part they're role players. him, they're using him as a necessary option. So I think that's going to help in his development for the most part, because it's like, yeah, you're probably not going to have those breakout games. You're probably not going to win Rookie of the Year because of the minutes you're playing and the high-quality potential you're, like, players you're playing against. Mm-hmm. But I think maybe year two, he'll probably have a big development because he already knows what it's like to be under that pressure, to be under that spotlight. And then maybe when Kyrie comes back, he could work on, I think it's more of his intangibles that he needs to work on.
Mm-hmm.
Once he gets those, I think he'll be crazy.
He'll be crazy. So if you don't think Cooper Flagg, for say year one, is going to be a Rookie of the Year candidate, who do you think is going to win?
Oh, VJ for sure.
VJ?
Yeah.
Automatically from that five games. Then.
For right now, VJ's averaging 20 points a game.
Well, true, but does that mean he's going to average it all season?
Well, no, I don't think he's going to average 20 per the whole season, but I think in terms of, for one, his grit and he's, compared to everyone else, he looks like the most who's like, I'm going to take advantage of this opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, granted, he's on a team where it's a Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid show, and Joel Embiid ain't doing much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's, again, taking advantage of the opportunity. And he's a super athletic player. He has a decent shot. He's super fast and could jump off the gym. So it's like, you know, he's going to get his looks. If anything, he's still averaged 15. Maybe it'll drop probably down to 15.
Uh-huh.
But still, those are, solid, I guess, for who else he has and the positions they're in, those are good Rookie of the Year numbers, especially when he's getting primary minutes.
True.
Everyone else who's in the conversation is coming off the bench. Like, even Dylan Harper, he's in the top five as a candidate. He comes off the bench. Like, yeah, you give me 15 off the bench. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, kudos to you. That's great numbers for someone who's coming in year one. But for him, he has a lot more potential and room to shine because he starts. He gets a lot more minutes.
Mm-hmm.
He gets a lot more touches because there's not many people he has to go through.
True.
Like, for example, I'm just using Harper as a reference because he's one of the players I remember. He has to go behind Castle, Vassell, Wemby, even Johnson, like Sohan, like those are all players that he's going to have to go behind in terms of touches. Now for VJ, I'm not trying to say like everybody else on Philly is trash, but you don't have to worry about that many people from a star perspective that's going to take the ball out of his hand. That's what I'm saying. Now, like, even players like Cedric Edwards in Memphis, you know, it's a two-man show. It's Ja and Jaren Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Without them two, you know, he gets more room to work. So that's why he's in that conversation. I think that's going to come, what it's going to lead down to. Their performance and the fact of that he's going to have a lot more time to really
develop
and put the ball in the hoop because he gets more minutes than everyone else that's in his class. He's, I think, a shoo-in for the most part for right now.
Okay, got it.
Like, there could be things that change. Like, you know, maybe he goes into a slump where the team's looking bad, all those other things. But I think for right now, in terms of looking at his actual performance in his rookie year, I don't think nobody's comparing in his numbers.
Okay, that's fair enough. What's your favorite team? Can I ask?
Honestly, I don't really.
You don't really have a
favorite
team?
I don't really have a favorite team, like, if I'm really being honest, because, you know, everybody gets traded. So it's like the team that I could like from the beginning won't be the team I end with at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I definitely do like certain players.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for sure. Like, I'm a Kyrie fan through and through. That's like my favorite player in the NBA. Kyrie Irving. I do like, you know, I like LeBron, KD. You know, those players that almost everybody likes. But in terms of, like, who's my favorite player, Kyrie Irving. For sure.
Is it because of the handles, the name?
I just think, no, it's definitely not the name. I just always liked, you know, the way he finished around the rim. Like, he's a great scorer and everything.
Mm-hmm.
He's from New Jersey. You know, he's near, because I'm from New York, he's near my area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's not that tall, but he does a lot to make himself big in terms of presence. And that's always been my thing. Like, I'm not the tallest. All through high school, I was around, like, 5'9", 5'7", 5'7", 5'9".
Yeah.
So it's like I was always smaller.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so my thing was being able to move and rearrange my body to get to the rim and stuff like that. And he was a player I liked to model my game around. granted, I wasn't as crafty or as shifty as him.
Well, that nobody really.
But, you know, that was someone who I, like, tried to emulate the most because he kind of fit what I was going for. Like, someone who, when I get the ball in my hand, I could maneuver in a way to where I could always get what I wanted to score.
Okay. Do you think he's going to come back the same after the injury?
I don't know. I think, well, you know, with the way recovery is now, you know, everything's different. Mm-hmm. You know, like, even me, I ruptured my Achilles in December, and I'm playing now.
Wow.
Like, so, it all depends, you know, on how people recover. And then think about it, they're million-dollar players, you know, they got a lot of stuff that I don't get from my physical therapy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got those, they got freaking ice and all that other stuff. Yeah. Like, stuff that I can't afford that could probably help expedite the process, as well as they do their conditioning every day.
So, like, basically, they're using their ligaments.
So, yeah, like, they're using the part that's messed up. They have experts in their field that's making sure they're ready to go. Because, remember, their body is their career. You know, like,
without it,
me, I could be hurt and I could still do my job.
True.
Him, he can't. So, it's like, they need him at 100%, especially because he's a priority player for that team, too. So, I think it's... I hope he comes back the same. Granted, it was his knee, right?
It was his ACL.
Yeah.
I think.
So, well,
I'm just saying, Kyrie is known for being shifty and fast.
I think in the beginning his movements might be a little spotty, but I think in terms of, like, as the game moves forward and he's able to actually get some games under his belt after the recovery, we might see glimpses of the same, but it won't be like how he was like. Every play, like, there might be some plays where he takes off, because, you know, it's one of those injuries that could really affect your play style to where he probably won't do as much as what he was doing before, because now he has to maneuver different. Like, even with me, like, even now I'm technically healthy, but sometimes when I'm on that right foot, I don't move the way I used to, because I always have that fear of what if I hurt it again. So that is always, maybe even for them, like, that might always be a thing. Like, oh, let me be careful of how I move on this foot, or let me make sure I don't do this movement this way, because this is what caused it to happen last time.
And that's the main thing that stops them from being a single player.
So that's what causes them to play, like, you have to play different, because you're like, it's a mental thing. Like, even now, like, it doesn't hurt me, but I know, like, oh, this is what I did that caused it, so then now I play different. So that's probably going to be the same thing for him.
Okay, got it. I also asked you the question earlier of favorite teams, because I was trying to see the evaluation of the teams that you may have liked. For me, it's the Knicks. And it just feels like, yeah, I know. Every single year we find a way to disappoint, even though we have a solid roster on paper. Like, think about it. We have Jalen Brunson, right?
Yeah.
We have Mikal Bridges. We have Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah,
we have Josh Hart.
Yeah, we have
the guys.
I think the problem
the
is,
coaching.
I wouldn't say that. I think the problem is, and I think Kat showed it in one of his interviews where they asked him where his role is on the team, and he responded, "I don't know." So I think it might be a locker room dynamic thing, or just figuring out where certain players are going to fit, especially when there was trade rumors about Giannis possibly going to the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
Whose spot do you think he's taking? That could also be another thing. And then also with a coach like Mike Brown, who utilizes a whole bench, compared to Thibs, where it was like, you're guaranteed to get your 40 minutes, so that means you're going to at least get 40 shots, like, give or take. Like, you're going to get a good amount of shots.
Mm-hmm.
Mike's not doing that. Mike's going to utilize every player, and I think that's a better option for the team. But for Kat as a player, I don't know. And I think, remember, they're a 1-2 punch, too. Like, yeah, they got those other players, but, you know, everything stems down to them two players for that team, I feel like. So, I don't know. I think it's just getting the house in order for the most part. Once they figure out where they want to go under this new coaching direction, they might be able to make a chance, because at the end of the day, again, like, how we're going to keep emphasizing, the East is not strong right now. The only one who's really putting a punch in the conversation right now is... Cleveland's not even doing that good right now, as what the expectation is for what they have compared to what every other team doesn't have. Right now, the Bucks and the Bulls is doing better than all of them.
Wow.
The Bucks is undefeated right now.
And the Bucks,
the Bulls are undefeated right now.
The Bulls, okay.
The Bulls are 5-0.
Wow. Josh Giddey really made that big of an impact.
And Zealous. That's what I'm saying. Giddey, they so it's like, you, like, and then Giannis is by himself right now.
Dame
for the most part.
Left. And then they're still doing good.
Yeah, they're doing good, but that's because he has to give you 30 plus a night, if not, they're going to lose.
True. I mean, I'm just thinking of the second player, like Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah, I would.
They lost Chris Middleton. I mean,
like him or
no more Brooke Lopez,
Kevin Porter Jr.
You
know what I'm saying?
That sounds like a terrible roster.
Yeah, that's bad.
That sounds like a LeBron roster.
Yeah, that's bad.
Nah, that's bad.
Where it's like every play got to go through him.
Exactly.
But I think for them, especially because of where they were last year, like y'all made it there with a team where the coach forced you to play 40 minutes a night. And now you're on a team where that rotation is going to get more flexible. You're going to be able to breathe. You're going to be able to take a break, you know, and also see how other players perform so you can know what's out there. Because, you know, God forbid, if certain players go down with this rotation, now that everybody's getting a chance to get touches, you know how other players play together. You know what works and what don't, how certain rotations look together. And I think that's the other thing, because he said he's trying out different rotations. So that's probably what's also affecting their performance, because now you're trying new things, trying out different matchups, different people on the court at different times. You know, but I think he, especially because he's a pivotal point for them too, he needs to get it together. But I don't know, especially with the East being as like
open
and, you know, it's fair game for everybody. I think they have a chance. I thought Orlando was going to do a lot better. They're not to par of what I thought they were. Like, right now, if we were to advertise a team in the East, I think the best team right now in the East would be, I guess, Chicago.
Which is crazy. Because nobody had them.
Yeah, like, nobody would have thought of them because, again, there's no stars over there. I mean, unless you consider Josh Giddey a star.
I don't think anybody thinks he's a star.
But you know what I mean? Like, that's a team where it's, I guess, their chemistry and their rotation is what's working. Everywhere else, you have stars or you have star potential, but it's just not meshing.
True.
So I don't know what's going to work. But I would say, I had hopes for Cleveland, though, for sure.
I did too. I had them as an underrated dog.
Yes, I had.
They
them
came
as,
in number one seed in the East last year.
I thought they had the chance because of how much manpower they have. And then I also had high hopes for the Knicks because of how far they went last year. But, you know, it depends on how serious they want to take it. Granted, it's still early. Every team has only had like 5 games under their belt. So, you know, they're still 70 plus games to go. So we don't know what could change come those certain times, but right now, from the way it looks,
it's like not looking so good.
I don't know. All the teams that I thought was gonna like blow teams out the water or like it was gonna be no debate, it's not looking like that.
It's not looking good.
But you know, it's the practice period for right now. I would take it as my thing. Like everybody's trying to figure out what works and what they kind of want to go into when it's time to really hunker down and lock in. So
the sad thing about it too is that I don't even think a winner is going to come out of the East anymore, like in the next like 2 years. Even just this year, when you look at the West, they are better in every single category, and every single team in the West, or like the top 8, are just better than the top 3 in the East.
Oh, for
or
sure.
Even the bottom teams I just see are better than some of the mid-tier teams in the East.
Because they're I would say they're more well-rounded than every team in the East. Like, I just,
like the Pelicans, well, it's like
a,
it's even
a,
there's
yeah,
like,
it's a West League right now. Like everybody's over there. So I mean, it helps for certain teams that's in the East where it's like, okay, we have less of trouble to make it to the summit. But then once you get there, you gotta play some high quality talent on that other side.
True.
And on that other side, it's not just a 1-man show. Most of the time it's a 3-4-man roster of people who could give you 20 plus a night. So I mean, We'll see. It's early.
I know it's early, but when you look at the teams, I'm just so happy to just see basketball again. First time in months. I see KD, you know, made some mistakes. called a timeout when he probably shouldn't have, and the OKC Thunder should have won that game. It would probably be undefeated if they didn't lose that. But do you look at OKC?
I don't think, honestly, if we want to talk about that game, because I watched that game, because I had a bet on that game.
I just couldn't believe the refs
would
see it.
I wouldn't say that's why they lost. I think the problem was, yeah, they were banking on Thompson being their guard.
Uh-huh.
Thompson wasn't used to doing that much at that position,
mm-hmm.
and his body gave out because then he started catching those cramps. Then you had to rely on Reed Shepard. Reed Shepard had like 7 turnovers that game in those last two, even if we say that last quarter in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
So without those turnovers and without the fact of KD basically only getting 2 or 3 shots within the last period,
mm-hmm.
they would have won. Like, there should be no reason why my star player only takes 3 shots in the fourth quarter. Granted, we're a well-rounded, tall team. There should be no reason why I have Kevin Durant sitting there and only gets 3 shots. Granted, Lou Dort was guarding him. Lou Dort is an amazing defender. But even then, somehow, someway, there should not be no reason why he's not getting touches. Or there should be no reason why a player like Reed Shepard is looking off KD and shooting 40-footers.
It shouldn't be.
Like, that's, I feel like that's what it came down to. Because even most of the game, like, Shea went into the half with 12 points. Ended the game with 40. Ended with, like, 50. So it's like that second half was where I think a lot more of the mistakes came in. And I think same with them. They're playing without a point guard, and now you're forcing a athletic defender to become a point guard.
That's true. In that game, Shai also barely scored any free throws in that game.
I believe. For once
in his actual career. Mm-hmm. Also, when you see KD on this team, he meshes good, but the thing is, they need to give, like you said, they need to give him more touches. Because mm-hmm. imagine you having a 7-foot guy who can score in any way possible on the court, has an unblockable shot, basically, mm-hmm. and you're not utilizing him.
Yeah.
That's like stupid. That's mm-hmm. like how the Spurs have been using Victor Wembanyama the last 2 years.
Yeah, it's like okay, stupid. we're just gonna not give him the ball. Like there's plays like that where it's like I get everybody want to get their chance to shine or their chance to put the ball in the rim, but there's a certain time where even me, I'm like, okay, it's that point.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't have the ball in my hand. Like, granted, yeah, I know I want to score, but if I know there's someone who most likely 9 times out of 10 is gonna guarantee me a bucket, why do I still have the ball in my hand?
Mm-hmm.
And that, I feel like that was the case. Like, Reed Shepard had a bunch of turnovers. Then Tari Eason came in the game and looked like he forgot how to play basketball. Then you got Steven Adams out there, which is another thing. You got someone who's only good for defense and in a time where we need offense.
Mm-hmm.
So that's you taking up another spot on the court. So it's just all those that I think factored into that game. But I think they're gonna get over it. I think the other thing that came into it, I think KD didn't want to go into that team and just be like, this is my, like, I run this.
This is my place. So because I think of his past, like, history?
Yeah, like, his past history of, like, yo, I don't want to come into a team and try to make it seem like it's mine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I'm here, but we're a team. And I think that's the, like, mentality he's taking coming into it. So it's mm-hmm. not just the, oh, it's the KD show. Like, and they're a great team. They were a great team without him.
Mm-hmm.
So I think adding him, like, yeah, they help overall, but I just don't think of it making him necessarily the only option, because that's going to be a detriment to them in the end. Mm-hmm. Because y'all were number one, or I think top 3 last year without him. Mm-hmm. So why can't y'all be top 3 with him? You know?
True.
So
you're like, the same roster.
Same roster, except Fred's out
mm-hmm.
for the most part.
But that shouldn't make at least much of an impact. Though,
yeah,
regardless.
But I think the problem that I think everybody's going to see is that they don't have a point guard.
True.
Like, Thompson is not
ready.
A point guard.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, he's not ready still.
Yeah, that too.
To be a point guard.
He's not ready to be a point guard. He's not ready to be a focal point as much as he is at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like, he's someone who's used to, like, all right, I get a few touches here and there. I go to the rim. I play my defense.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like, okay, here, show me what you can do. Mm-hmm. That's not him. Or that hasn't been his role in the league.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't overtime elite no more where we can just give you the ball and you go and do whatever.
Yeah.
It's not like that. Now it's, I guess, he's going to have to adjust to where he currently is. And right now they're trying to make him a point guard while their point guard's out. and that's not gonna
work out so good.
I hope not. Unless I hope it does, but I think the other thing is, I mean, you could pick up a free agent. Mm-hmm. I know one of the things a lot of people were saying was Ben Simmons out there. Like, we don't need Ben Simmons to put the ball in the hoop. We just need a point guard. That's one thing I'll say. He is a point guard.
He is, but even though he can't score,
even though he can't score, but I think the main thing, they have scorers. They just have nobody to run their offense.
True.
And I think if you just go in and be like, "Yo, Ben, we'll give you league minimum. Just run our offense." I think that will be better for them in the long run, because now you have someone that actually knows what they're doing to bring the ball up the court.
I mean, you could say that, but also a scary thing with Ben Simmons. So a lot of things are scary about Ben Simmons. But one thing I would definitely say is that I don't know if I could trust him to be healthy enough to lead our offense at all. And that's with the last couple of years, he's just been injured. And I just hear the most insane reasons for why he's out, like ankle sprain, or he's not feeling well in his back.
There's stuff like that. I'm just saying from a perspective of I know I need a competent point guard, and that's just one of them that I know that isn't signed to a team right now. Mm-hmm. Like, if we wanted someone who's like through and through like high IQ point guard, I wouldn't say him. But in terms of, I need a point guard, but also I need someone who has that height advantage, he's a good option. But I mean, overall, at the end of the day, they just got to figure out what they're doing at that point guard spot. Once they get that point guard spot taken care of, I think they'll be all right.
Yeah, definitely. And I just look at the people like that beat them, the OKC Thunder. Mm-hmm. I look at that side, and I'm saying to myself, for the first time in like 7-ish years, I could actually see a team going back-to-back. Because in this new era with the new CBA, you've seen where there's been a new winner every single year since like 2018, right?
Yeah.
But the OKC Thunder are structured in a way where they still have their core, they still have the guys, and they don't have to pay them for a little bit more time.
Mm-hmm.
I think they gave Jalen Williams the bag this offseason, obviously give Shea what he needs or whatever, but they still have Chet, they still have Caruso, they have Luke Dort.
Yeah,
they just have a complete
team.
They
basically didn't lose anybody.
Exactly.
But, I say that is a possibility. But at the same time, the West has only gotten stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we also have to take that into consideration. Like, yes, they are a great, young, all-around team, for sure. But even, like, how we were just, like, highlighting, like, Wemby's been amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got players like Austin Reeves who've been stepping up. You got... Even, I'm not going to say the Pelicans are a contender, but they have a decent roster out there. Houston's out there. There's been teams out there, like, even for the first two games for OKC, there was teams who could potentially give them a run for their money. Like, their first two games of the season went to overtime.
True.
So it's, like, not trying to say OKC's got worst, but I think other teams in their conference or in that section of the league has gotten better or has added more to their arsenal to make them a threat. Mm-hmm. And then think about it this way. All a team needs to do is make sure they win four games.
True.
It's just four games. If they could do that, then that's
anything's only possible.
Yeah, anything's possible. As long as you win, as long as you can get four games out of there before they get their four,
mm-hmm.
anything can happen.
Okay. Obviously, one of these stars are injured. I'm looking at LeBron, Curry, and KD, and I'm saying to myself in my mind, which one of these three are more likely to get a championship before their career ends? And it's just very intriguing to see, because they are both on free solid teams. They're free solid teams in the West.
Yeah.
I just want to hear from you first who you think is going to win one first. If they
out
do
of those three?
Yes.
I would say... Honestly, I would say maybe KD because of who he has in Houston, and Houston had a good team. I think the problem was when it came down to the postseason, they didn't have that score that they need, and that's what Kevin Durant brings. But, Curry's Curry. Curry's going to always do what he got to do. I just don't know if what he has is enough to give him another championship, especially when he's saying, I think it's like three more years, and then he's three to two more years, and then he's saying he's out. LeBron, too, he's saying he's not staying by the time Bryce comes. So that's another 2 years. And right now with the team he has, I don't see it. But I don't, again, it's possible. But I think the one with the highest probability of it happening is KD.
KD, which is fair. This is how I view it. I view it as a couple things need to go right. I want to see how KD first looks with Fred VanVleet on the court together, because as you say, they're probably a lot better when they have an actual point guard on the court. Where I look at Curry, I see all these different pieces he has, but is it going to be enough to go over the top? Because at the same time, it's debatable with the bench that he has.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, because like, you got to look at it this way. Like, yes, all three of those are great, amazing players. They've done a lot for the game. But you got to think about what the team looks like when they're not on the court. Like, Houston, they still look like a competitive Houston team without KD on the court. If everyone's healthy, let's add that part, because, you know, Fred VanVleet did a lot for them last year. So let's just imagine it. Let's imagine if everybody had a healthy team. KD not on the court, Houston is still top three team that they were last year. Curry, that offense is not the same Steph Curry's not on the court.
We saw it last year in the playoffs.
It falls flat without him.
Crumbled.
And then LeBron, I mean,
it still works.
You still got Luka. It works. You still got, I think it works because you have a player like Luka on your team. But then now you have no one else when Luka's off, or everybody's going to pressure Luka. I mean, yeah, Austin Reeves does what he can.
The rookie did all right, too.
But then your defense is what? Like, DeAndre Ayton, we thought he was going to make a major impact. Doesn't do enough. Rui doesn't do enough. So I think without, like, we got to look at it as a overall team thing. And I think the one who has the best chance, if you look at the overall roster, is Houston.
That's true. I was going to go to LeBron and his team, because with the Lakers, too. I saw that, you know, with DeAndre Ayton, I feel like he's the key player that I thought they were going to be missing this offseason. Like, I was like, as soon as the Lakers signed DeAndre Ayton, I felt a lot more comfortable, I'd say. I wouldn't say they have a true center, because, granted, he's lazy. He's very lazy. Absolutely. And he doesn't do defense a lot. Obviously, I know he could give me probably 10 and 10 a night. But that's the thing that I don't know about him. Which you need to win a championship. Yeah. Like,
you need that defensive anchor back there, and I feel like they don't have it. Like, don't get me wrong, there's certain plays where Jackson Hayes looks amazing, and there's certain plays where, you know, we thought what Ayton was going to do was going to be enough. But looking at it in the long run, I don't like, and I think everybody's been saying it, like, they're still missing that one piece to get them over the hump. Like, yeah, your backcourt's solid.
You have Marcus Smart, who's been a great defensive anchor.
Yeah, but I'm talking about, like, well, granted, Luka's hurt right now. But I'm just saying, imagine you got a great player in Luka. You got a great player in Austin Reeves.
Yes.
And then even then, you still have decent role players in, like, Smart, Vincent, those. But they need to perform.
True.
It's your backcourt. Like, you got Rui, then LeBron. But the thing is, LeBron's LeBron.
Yes.
But LeBron's 40. Like, we have to take that in consideration. LeBron's 40. Then we have players like Rui Hachimura. Then you have players like DeAndre Ayton, and all the, like, they don't do enough to where, like, to make an impact, I feel like. For what they're supposed to come in and do, I don't think they're doing enough.
So if you had to put it, like, in rankings, you said KD's number one.
I would say
between Steph and LeBron for that next second spot.
I would say the only reason I would put the Lakers next is because of the way Luka is, and the fact of how Austin Reeves is performing without them two there. That's the only reason. But if I was looking at it from an overall team thing, I think the Warriors have more pieces that are used to a team setting. It's just the problem of when Curry's not out there, that team involvement of everyone getting a look and everybody getting touches kind of dies down. But so I don't know, I would say maybe Houston, LA, then Golden State.
Okay.
If I was to really, I think, look at
the, like, look at the roster. Whole roster, yeah. From up
whole
to
roster
down.
If everyone was healthy and playing, I think with LeBron and Luka and the way Austin Reeves is playing, now you actually have a nice three-man option. And I mean, if you want to add Ayton, if Ayton could give you your 10-8 or whatever his stat line would look like, that's still decent numbers compared to if Curry's having an off night, the Warriors aren't winning.
Yeah, but we've seen that a lot.
We've seen that a lot, unless Jimmy Butler goes for like 30-something.
Which I don't think he's at the age where you can really
He's not doing that consistently. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where it's going to come down to, you know? But that's how I would rank it.
Okay, fair enough. You know a little bit about football? Or are you more of like a...
I'm not really into it. I got more into it when I moved up to Western New York because I went to school really close to Buffalo. So I kind of got into it there because the school did trips to Bills games and everything. So I kind of been more into it, especially because now I'm starting to bet on those games as well.
I'm guilty too.
I wouldn't say I know everything, but I know a little bit.
You know a little bit. Like, you know about the Bills team, like, and who they have, is what you're saying.
All I know, they have Josh Allen and Keon Coleman, and I think, do they still have James Cook?
They do have James
Cook. I think, so yeah. So those I know those three mainly. Oh, I mean, and then Kincaid, and I know their main options. But if I was to look at their whole team,
I'd
be like, who the heck is this guy? But I know the ones who I, like, put in pain. You know,
true.
So
I was only asking because we're like at the midway point in the NFL season, and I just want to see like a full like analysis of what you can see. Obviously, I don't know if you know a lot about the sport to be able to comment on that. So that's why I was asking from me personally.
For football, I don't think so. Uh-huh. But I know, like, I follow a bunch of TikToks who do like game recaps and game analysis and everything. Mm-hmm. And I've seen that it's been a weird season.
It has been.
You've got players who I think we thought were going to be bust or weren't going to be that amazing, went to different teams and are playing amazing. Like, you got players like Drake May, he's doing all right. Who else? Daniel Jones was doing good. You know, Mac Jones, like all those players who we thought weren't going to, you know, show out in the spotlight have been surprisingly good. I've been watching, I think for the most part, the Giants a lot because I've been seeing the Dart and Scadaboo connection,
but sadly
it's dead. But you know, like, they've been one that I was watching a lot. I think the Bills is always going to be the Bills. They're always going to make it to that point, but it's always something that happens within that playoff time that they can never get over the hump. Granted, it's always sometimes they fall to the Chiefs. But the Chiefs aren't looking that great either. So it's like, I don't know what it's going to be that's going to prevent them from doing what they could possibly, like, because I know they've always been the team that prevents them from winning the Super Bowl.
They are.
But I think this year they have a chance, but at the same time, every other team is just looking amazing. So it's like, I don't know.
I mean, I remember a team like the Baltimore Ravens who I feel like their whole season has flipped upside down.
Oh, yeah, that was a team that they thought, we thought they were a no debate, and now they're like...
Not even close. They were like 1-5 at some point. Mm-hmm. So I'm just looking at it like they're done. I'm looking at the entire AFC as a total, and like the only people that we have to prove we have to get by is the Chiefs.
Yeah, simply. And then now they're playing terrible. So, you know, like, so that's always... something. But I just, again, like, I think the way everybody thought, like, this has been a season where everybody's predictions have been so off because of the way certain teams that we thought were going to be entirely terrible are performing.
True.
Like, even the other day, like, there should have been no reason why, like the Jets beating the Bengals was not on my bingo card. Granted, the Bengals don't have most of their pieces or their main piece, but I still thought they shouldn't lose to the Jets.
I'm pretty sure they were winless,
and they lost. Yeah, that was their first and I think only win so far this season.
Oh my god.
It's things like that where it's like, you know, you look at them and you're like, this team should not lose.
True.
They're losing. So it's like,
I think it's because they look down and be like, oh, the Jets are 0-7. We don't have to worry about this. We're just gonna win automatically. And that's the danger of thinking that way.
Yeah, it's that mentality I think that they come into the game with. Like, cause there's been little times where you go to a school or you go to a team and you're like, oh, I'm not worried about them. Like, oh, they don't have this piece, they're not all that. Or like, oh, look at who we got. And that definitely plays a part in the performance.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't know what it is. I think most teams lost hope when certain players went down.
Sure.
Like with Joe down, I think, because remember, he's like their focal point.
Mm-hmm.
And I think quarterback's usually the focal point for every team. But for him, he's like, without them, they don't shine at all.
True.
So, I mean, I think same with Baltimore. Like, their players went down and it was just like, yeah, like, it is what it is.
I mean, so. True, but the Bengals, I guess they signed a good backup, I guess, in Joe Flacco.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, he had that good game with Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if you saw on Sunday Night Football. Mm-hmm. It was insane. I couldn't believe it. And Aaron Rodgers had surprised me, like, immensely because obviously we saw with his Jets days, like, we thought that he wasn't that guy anymore. And then all of a sudden he turns into, like, prime Aaron Rodgers again.
You know, I think it depends on who you have around you. Because, you know, there's certain teams where there could be multiple stars, but, you know, it's big fish in a little pond. Compared to, it's a small fish in a big pond. You know, it's a matter of who you have around you that you're willing to mesh with, who you're willing to work with, and I think a lot of it comes down to, I guess not necessarily an ego thing, but a like who's taking my touches type of thing. But I mean, I think this has just been a year where people are like, shine up the haters. Especially from that perspective, there's a lot of players where we thought, oh, they're not going to do much, and they're flipping the script.
That's true.
So, I don't know.
I look at that, and I look at the NFC, too, because I look at both conferences, and I'm also a Giants fan, which really pained what I saw last Sunday.
Every team you're going for so far is just not...
been like, yeah. I mean, we beat the Eagles 1 week, yeah, and that was Jackson Dart's like,
yeah, I'm here moment. But then now your chemistry is shot. It's been a Scadaboo and Dart connection, and Scadaboo is out.
And now that's probably gonna affect it.
And now that's gonna affect the whole team. Because remember, they weren't a package deal, but they were like a 1-2.
Mm-hmm.
They were ride or die for each other.
Yes.
But now the two that was kind of bringing up the energy and the vibe and the atmosphere around the team, you're missing one half. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you miss that one half that kind of brings the life into a team, it changes everything.
You know,
that team morale is obviously going to change now that a focal point is gone.
You don't think Jameis could bring up that energy of that roster?
I don't. Not the way he doesn't play. Not the way Cam can. Not the way Cam did.
How so?
Cam is CTE certified. So, you know, but it's that intensity of where he's like, yo, I don't give a damn. I'm going to run into whoever. If I got to break a kneecap, I'm going to break a kneecap. Like, he gave, I'm willing to die for this game. And I don't think another player could come in and show and, like, display it the way he did.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, you've seen clips where he's getting ready for a game and he's banging his head into a concrete wall.
Which is crazy.
Like, that just showed, like, oh, he's serious about this. Like, and I think not many players have that type of, I guess, energy around them that could help ride everybody else, like, you know, where they lead by example. He's one where it's like, yo, I'm ready to... I'm ready to die for this team. And I think that kind of helps with the morale and the potential of other players on the team performing because they know, like, oh, we got this guy.
Uh-huh.
But that guy just... came down. So it's like, sure. Now who's going to be that one to help bring up that intensity outside of Dart, you know?
Like, you just don't know.
And right. That's the part where it's like, I don't know what the rest of their season is going to look like. Hopefully they pull do it for Cam type of season. But, I mean...
At the end of the day, I don't think we were going to make the Super Bowl with this team at all.
No, but so, I think y'all would have had better numbers than last year, at least.
True, but for me, my mentality is always boom or bust. That's my mentality. I don't want to be average. That means I get an average pick.
You want an average team. You want to go to the summit or nothing at all?
I don't want to be the Steelers, okay? Okay, that's what I don't want to be. So, it's either we stink and we get a high draft pick, or we win and we're going to the Super Bowl. 1 or 2. That's all I ever wanted to be. Finally, I do want to say the Philadelphia Eagles, obviously won the Super Bowl last year. And I just, I want to get your opinion on them as a team. This is my final question, don't worry. I know you have to go somewhere.
Nah, my girlfriend's asking me a bunch of questions. I feel like I'm getting interrogated. So I'm like just checking
a bunch of things. All good, but...
Yeah, it's like I got here and now everybody want to ask me questions. Meanwhile, I've been sitting in my office for hours doing nothing.
Fair. But like I said, the Philadelphia Eagles won the championship this year. Mm-hmm. I want to know your analysis on them right now because they're a very good team. I don't know if you know much about them and their division.
The Eagles?
Yes.
I heard, I think the main thing I've been hearing is like, because again, I'm not going to say like, oh, I know everything about them. I'm just going through what I've heard through the grapevine and like what everyone else has been saying. They've always been a strong, I guess, offensive team. You know, they've always had the Tush Bush and all those weapons. Mm-hmm. But their defense sucks, is what I've been hearing.
I mean,
I don't know if that's 100% accurate, but I mean, they did, correct me if I'm wrong, I think they've lost a few pieces. So, I mean, I don't know. That's the one thing I heard about them. Like, you know, and that's the thing, like, offense could do a lot, but, like, you could score a lot of points, or you could score some points, but at the end of the day, you got to stop the other team from scoring.
True.
And if your defensive line cannot do that, you're not going to be able to hold a candle to the other teams.
True.
Like, even there's other teams where it's like, okay, our defense isn't star-studded, but we got enough to where if we need to stop, it can happen. Mm. I don't think, from what I've been hearing, the Eagles got that. So, I don't know.
No. And you could see it in the Giants game, which, by the way, the Giants' offensive line is terrible.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get one single pressure in there. Mm-hmm.
You got Cam Scatterboo just running through everybody.
Through it. And I'm just like, oh my God.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so, it's all that. Like, I don't know. It's just, they need to figure out something. Especially when you're the people who just came off the championship. You know, there's something you gotta show for that. Like, there's something you gotta prove. And I think they're showing cracks in their armor. Mm-hmm. You know, because usually when you're that team, they look at you like, oh my gosh, these are the guys to beat. And I think right now everybody's recognized their weakness, and it's their defense.
True, and they're exposing it. A lot.
They're like, oh, this defense is weak, we're going to utilize that.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of teams have been doing that. Granted, they've been coming out with a couple of wins, but in terms of overall, like, they aren't cutting it, you know?
It's not so much of their run defense, it's like their pass defense. They can't stop anybody from passing.
Mm-hmm.
There should be no excuse why you're letting freaking Joe Flacco and Jackson... Like, granted, Jackson Dart's a great quarterback. Mm-hmm. I love him. But he's still a rookie.
Yeah.
Like, you guys are a championship team.
You're a championship team, and you got a rookie shining out off the field. Yeah.
You held Patrick Mahomes to 2 touchdowns, 2 INTs, a terrible stat line, yet you can't do it this year. With basically the same to a rookie.
Yeah.
With the same roster. It doesn't make any sense. What? Come on, man.
No, that's funny.
Come on, man.
Oh, man. But, yeah, you know, I'm not a 100% expert on football, but like they've been messing up my parlays too. I just know, like, the only thing I know is when a team messes up my parlay, that's a guarantee.
How much do you bet on your parlay now?
Well, like, how much money?
Yes.
Only $10.
Only $10. Okay.
Well, what happened was one of my friends put me on. He gave me a slip, a decent slip, and it hit. It hit for like $100. So technically, I only put up $10, and right now it's been losing because a lot of people have been selling me.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. Today might be my last day to make a parlay.
If it doesn't,
and I think today's a good option because the matchups for the NBA don't look as iffy as how it's been the last few weeks.
Yeah, fair enough. I usually never go up against like $20. Like,
oh no, I don't go that high. Yeah, no, I'm not risking it. I stay with my $10 bet.
True, because there's one time where I bet $50 and it hit for like. 350, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn, let me do 100 next time.
And the biggest
regret I ever did. Never again.
I did that once. I think when I first got into it, I was like, you know what? I was looking at too much. I was looking too much at what the payout was.
Mm-hmm.
Not looking at the likelihood of it actually hitting.
Yes.
Like, there was one where I was like, man, I put up $5. Winning is $10,000. I'm like, I'm going for it. And most of the time, at that time, I was only doing money line.
Yeah.
I was like, Andrew, you got to stop looking at how much money it is. You got to look at the likelihood of this bet hitting.
Which was not very a lot.
So I think I've got past that issue now.
Like, you're better off winning the lottery in this case.
I think now I've been kind of looking at it more of like, okay, what's the likelihood of this person giving me these numbers? Mm-hmm. And I've been looking at, like, past performances and other things like that, and kind of comparing matchups, especially for NBA. Like, when I see a team where they're playing, like, okay, their star player's out, mm-hmm. maybe I put this star player to get a little bit more.
Yeah.
But so yeah. I think just looking at those type of numbers has been helpful a little bit.
Okay.
But I gotta wait and see. I gotta see what it's looking like today and see if my friend sends me a slip.
Has he been doing good? Has it been hidden?
He has. I have not. Oh. I get a little greedy, because what happens is they got this 50% profit boost right now, which is cool. But for me, I'm like, yo, I'm not putting a $10 bet and I'm only winning $30. True. To me, I feel like that's not enough.
That's not enough.
But that's where I get the greedy comes in.
Yes.
Compared to, you know what, I should just be grateful with the $30.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes I get greedy too, and I'm just like, don't worry, it's still recording. But sometimes I get greedy too, and I'm just like, man, this is a whole chicken sandwich. Yeah. I just think,
like, yo, this is a whole meal right here.
Hold on, wait a minute.
Like, yo, I could pay my rent with this. Like, that's the stuff that's going through my head, and then I'm like, I have to, like, wake up to reality. And I'm like, that's not
a good idea.
Not a good idea.
At all. But
I don't know.
It is what it is. Mm-hmm. Okay. I know you gotta go, but
no, I was just answering. I was just right now. She's asking me about some socks.
Oh, some socks.
She's like, "Whose socks are these?" I'm like, "I don't know."
That sounds like my mom. You got a good one. Okay.
I'm good right now.
Oh, she's just doing mama stuff, or
no? Nah, I think right now she just, what's it called? I think she's doing laundry, and I think she found my son's socks, and I think the sock brand she don't recognize, so she's like, did you buy these? But I guess I gotta check, because I probably did, but I don't remember. Because me, I'd be just going to Walmart and buying
whatever
look nice, and if it's cheap, I get it.
Yeah, probably. So, <fair.
laughs> but yeah.
Yeah, that's it. I appreciate you, Andrew.
No problem, man. I thought we was going to talk about club basketball or something.
We could another time. I mean,
if you want me on another segment, I could do
another
that.
Another segment?
Just let me know.
Oh, but, my goodness. I mean, I got you anytime.
For sure.
I mean, you're going later. By the way, we are going to get the new page for club basketball.
Yes,
it's going to come out soon. Don't you worry.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. It's going to be epic. Mm-hmm. Best believe. Appreciate
for sure.
it, Andrew.
No
appreciate
problem.
It.
Thank you.
Got
it. I am a different man. But ain't no reason why I be buying expensive chains. Hope you don't think users are the only abusers. Niggas getting high within the game. If you do, then how would you explain? I'm 10 years removed, still a vibe is in my veins. I got a hustler spirit, nigga, period. Check out my hat, yo, peep the way I wear it. Check out my swag, yo, I walk like a ball player. No matter where you go, you are what you are, player. And you can try to change, but that's just the top layer. Man, you was who you was before you got here. Only God can judge me, so I'm gone. Either love me or leave me alone.